This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Another late-night deal gives Britain more time to thrash out its Brexit strategy. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig, filling in for Anu Anand. Good morning. UK Prime Minister Theresa May is expected to make a lunchtime statement in Parliament today about the European Union's decision to extend the Brexit deadline. In the wee hours of last night, the EU agreed to a flexible Brexit extension. The BBC's Su Ping Chan has more.
After 5 hours of talks over a cod and shrimp dinner, EU leaders agreed to offer the UK a Halloween Brexit deadline. The new timetable was a compromise thrashed out in the absence of British Prime Minister Theresa May. This so-called flextension means the UK can leave before the October 31st deadline if lawmakers approve the withdrawal agreement they have rejected 3 times. The President of the European Council, Donald Tusk, said the ball was back in Britain's court.
This extension is as flexible as I expected and a little bit shorter than I expected, but it's still enough to find the best possible solution. Please do not waste this time.
Mrs. May acknowledged there was huge frustration with the delay.
I do not pretend that the next few weeks will be easy or there is a simple way to break the deadlock in Parliament. But we have a duty as politicians to find a way to fulfil the democratic decision of the referendum.
So what do businesses make of it all? Stephen Phipson, chief executive of manufacturing lobby group Make UK, said the sector was already suffering because of Brexit uncertainty.
Half their activity is stockpiling. We have 70% of them not investing at the moment. And more worrying right now is we have European customers now delaying contracts for manufactured goods coming from the UK. We are now entering a prolonged uncertainty period, but at least we don't have no deal tomorrow. And so now what we need is quickly the government to come to a solution.
With EU leaders now united over the extension, Mrs. May's next task is to get agreement from her very divided parliament. In London, I'm the BBC's Su Ping Chan for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The pound is little changed this morning on those Brexit developments, while London's FTSE 100 is down about 0.3%. And despite upbeat news, the US and China are moving closer together on trade talks. Stocks in Asia were mostly lower. To Venezuela now, where overnight, embattled President Nicolas Maduro agreed to finally allow humanitarian aid into the country. The decision comes amid a worsening economic crisis and ongoing power struggle with self-declared interim president Juan Guaido. The BBC's Audrey Tinlin has more.
In a televised address, Mr. Maduro said an agreement had been reached to alleviate acute food and medicine shortages.
We have reached an agreement, the International Committee of the Red Cross and the Bolivarian government, to work together with UN agencies to bring into Venezuela all the support, all the humanitarian aid that can be brought, while still respecting Venezuela's sovereignty.
Mr. Maduro previously refused to accept international assistance, insisting it would be the first step towards US intervention. He denies his country is suffering a humanitarian crisis and blames US sanctions for problems in the economy, including hyperinflation, which the World Bank says will hit an estimated 10 million% this year. A UN report last month said a quarter of Venezuela's 30 million people are in urgent need of aid. It said 3.7 million people there are malnourished. Earlier this year, the president, with the help of the military loyal to him, blocked an effort from Mr. Guaido to bring in aid from Colombia, Brazil and Curaçao, saying too much of it was provided by the US. In London, I'm the BBC's Audrey Tinlin for Marketplace.
Now, India is the world's fastest growing major economy, but it still faces a number of challenges. This year's election, which begins today, is highlighting one in particular, jobs, or the lack of them. The BBC's Samir Hashmi reports from the busy streets of Mumbai.
In the last 5 years, India's economy has grown 7% growth every year, but unemployment is at a 45-year high.
more than half the population in this country is under the age of 25. And India needs to create 8 to 10 million new jobs every year to absorb its young workforce. I went to a job fair in the southern Indian city of Kochi, where we met 5,000 graduates who had turned up for that event. Only 250 were getting hired, and we spoke to our people there.
I've been to 50 job interviews, but companies say they're looking for candidates with experience.
I will ask for a higher salary since I had experience. But there are many people who are ready to work in less salaries. But a problem is that there are not many opportunities for them.
So those were the people who told us about the problems they're facing. But if you look at India, why is India facing this problem? There are two issues. Private companies are not investing enough. It's really the government that's investing, which is creating jobs. And unless private investment goes up, there won't be enough jobs in the private sector, which is the bulk employer in the country. The second problem is, even though there's millions of graduates that pass out every year with degrees, most of them are unemployable because they lack the skill sets that employers require. The courses that are being taught in schools and colleges are very outdated. Samyak Chakravarti is the managing director of a private company, and this is what he told us.
I think more than unemployment, my worry is unemployability, where you have a large number of young people with a lot of potential, but they don't have the right skills and the right direction for the job that already exists. I think when it comes to the government, they have to really go back to the drawing board with reference to the curriculum if they really want to solve the skill gap problem that our country has. The degree itself is of no value anymore because employers know that, you know, there are millions of graduates with the same degree. How do you distinguish between all?
Now, the opposition parties led by Rahul Gandhi have been attacking Prime Minister Narendra Modi on his economic record. They say that not only enough jobs have been created, there is a huge agrarian crisis. More than 50% of the population depends on farming, and they have really been struggling to make money. Now, Prime Minister Modi has rolled out a lot of subsidies for him. In fact, both the opposition and Prime Minister Modi's party have announced that if they come back to power, they will unveil favorable policies for farmers, which will help increase their income. And that, many say, will be one of the crucial issues in this election. In Mumbai, I'm the BBC's Samir Hashmi for Marketplace.
And from a much quieter London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.